Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. In the romance adventure, The One, a Deidre Lee saga, it's only human to wonder, what if, by Donna Hammond, Deidre leads an interesting life, meeting the love of her life, finds out she's an immortal prophecy, a supernatural being who lives in Seattle. Sexy urban fantasy wrapped in the history of the Northwest and its indigenous people. Donna, born and raised in Longview, Washington, worked through high school at JCPenney's, worked in a local paper mill for 23 years, 2000 turned to real estate, retiring in December of 2019. To make her first check off on her bucket list, she wanted to finish the book that she started in 2008 when life threw her and her husband a curveball. Depressed, she invented a world that was a distraction from real life. An active volunteer in her community working with local agencies to raise money for the underprivileged. Donna Hammond, author of The One, a Deidre Lee saga, It's Only Human to Wonder, What If, is our guest on This Week in America. Donna, welcome to the program. It's a great pleasure to have you with us.
Well, thank you for having me, Rick.
Interesting to talk about this book. You've got such a vivid imagination and you bring these characters alive in The One. Let's talk about the background of the book. Tell me a little bit about the book and how this started in 2008. This really was a process, wasn't it, to write the book?
It really was. So I had read the Twilight series and I thought, you know what? I have a good imagination. And then when life happened, my imagination really kicked in because they didn't like what was going on and what was the real world. I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that.
Exactly.
Nothing stopped me. Here I am. I'm writing away thinking I'm doing a really good job. When I realized how severe my dyslexia is, no one can read what I've written but me. And now what do I do with these pages and pages of this novel I've began and all these characters that just kind of come to me, like when I'm in the grocery store. I remember vividly Jake. He was a guy that walked into Fred Meyer's. He was in like the avocados and the vegetables. He had long strawberry blonde dreadlocks. He was about 6'2". He was gorgeous. He didn't belong in Longview, Washington. I fondly refer as Whoville because we're, you know, rural and logging families. And he turned and looked. I must have been really staring. He turned around, looked at me, and winked. And I thought, okay, well, I put him in the back of my mind. But you know what? Pulled him back out, and he became one of the characters in my book. It's kind of how the characters built throughout. And Deidre, she is your woman heroine that every woman should be, strong and intelligent and thoughtful and kind, and yet with a ruthless side of her grandmother, kind of her spirit guide. So they just come, as my life has gone on, these characters evidently have built inside. My husband says I talk in my sleep unless I write. So that's how this all got started.
Well, it's fascinating where this began and then bringing it back to the checklist, as I said, for the bucket list. Talk for a second here about the dyslexia, because it's really remarkable that you're able to write a book. This is a major accomplishment. What's it feel like to overcome to the point where you're a published author now?
And thank you for recognizing that, because I think that people need to understand that even if they have some, I mean, there's so many afflictions and things that we have. I mean, they've labeled us the last 25 years. My dyslexia, no one recognized. When I was in school in the 60s and 70s, graduated in 1976, you never heard or very seldom heard that word. It is a genetic trait. My cousin also is dyslexic. But I have, okay, so picture a word with a G and an E in it, and yet the E is a 3 and the G is a 6. Numbers in my letters. So when you go to read a paragraph, it's like deciphering a letter from the military, and after my brain figured it out, I'm exhausted. I don't remember what I read. So when I turned 50, for some reason, something either clicked or opened up, and I was able to read and comprehend. And I started with some pretty little books. I mean, these are my granddaughter's books about because I liked, you know, what it was about. It was about the Lightning Thieves and an Oregon writer. He had written that, and so she was reading it. So I read it with her so that I could keep up and we could talk about it.
Yes.
So, you know, we were talking about books for sixth graders, and they were challenging to read. But as I kept reading, kept reading, kept reading, more of my brain evidently opened up, and then I was able to do this. Now, keep in mind the CD. Now, remember, we used to have CDs, not thumb drives that we kept stuff on.
Exactly, yes.
The original CD that the book is on, I can barely understand because it's written like almost in another language. So I am proud that I've been able to accomplish this. The friends of mine that went to school with me, can you imagine my notes we passed in school? They made fun of me and I just ignored them. And then as I've been an adult, they've also made fun of me. But yet they've come back around since I've done this and been my biggest supporters.
And hopefully people have been purchasing, your friends purchasing the book by Donna, The One, a Deirdre Lee Saga. It's Only Human to Wonder What If. Book available Amazon, wherever books are sold. Donna's website is very simple, Donna Hammond, HAMMOND.com. Book published by workbookpress.com. You'll find the book there, of course, as well. Other than the dyslexia, what were some of the challenges in writing the book? Writing because of the dyslexia was difficult for you, but the ideas weren't, were they? They were there, ready to jump out of your imagination onto paper.
When I read a book, and some of my favorite authors, they take you on that journey where, like, if they're eating popcorn, you can almost taste it the way they
Yes,
describe it.
yes.
And so I wanted my book. I wanted to take you on this journey. I wanted you to think. You know, there's so many miraculous things that happen in the world. What if there are immortals among us? What if magicians and some of these really interesting things we can't explain are part of our world? We just have to be open to see them. And so, in writing it as, you know, my other world, I wanted them to be healthy and beautiful, and I wanted to fight the evil, yeah, you're right. It just comes to me. My dad was very creative. I have a creative side that happens in the middle of the night, unfortunately. So sometimes I have to get up and write it down. But yeah, it's just all in there. The gal that wrote Eat, Pray, Love, she made the comment that when you have the stories inside, you have the obligation to turn them loose for the world. So they're just in there. Yeah,
Well,
that's all I can say. They're just in there and they just come out when I start writing.
And we can enjoy your imagination and go along on the ride, which will be exactly what you feel when you're reading The One, a Deirdre Lee Saga. So many great scenes that come alive in the book, The One. Is there any one in particular that was maybe the most fun for you to write, that you really enjoyed bringing this imagination to life in the book?
So when she was training in the basement of the beautiful mansion that's on the island that no one knows is there, James Island, and no one can see the house. It looks like a fire tower. This is a walk-in only island in the real world. You can't drive in, and yet they manage to drive in and hide all of the. They have a boat and they have a yacht and they have a float plane from the 50s that's been restored that hangs out in a cave that they have. So, when she was training with Jake, and she was just, I'm just a girl, you know, what is it you think I can do? Her grandmother, who is her warrior spirit, who is an original Atlantean who got left here when Atlantis disappeared, and they ruled the world. They helped shape the Americas. They came from Europe to Seattle, and the six of them were part of the Rockefellers and the people that created America and the wealthiest. And so she has this, she's a ghost. I mean, she talks to her in her head. She doesn't understand. So when Jake goes to train her, says, "Come at me, go ahead, hit me." she walks all over him and flips him and throws him on the ground. And then she's embarrassed and he's mad. His ego is beat. So those are kind of some of the fun ones that I liked writing. In the paper mill, worked with a lot of men and a lot of ego. So that kind of is where that came from, that, men don't appreciate women telling them from the 50s and 60s that what to do or how to do it or to beat them at anything.
A theme of
So,
this is Donna doesn't forget all these memories that you have. You now have an outlet for these. You can go back to the young gentleman in the store. You can go back to these people that obviously got on your nerves, men being
yeah.
jerks back in the paper mill. And all this defines and refines some of the characters in Donna's book. The book, The One, a Deidre Lee Saga. It's only human to wonder. What If? You'll find the book at Amazon, published by workbookpress.com, Donna's website, donnahammond.com. Do you have a favorite character in the book? You might mention a couple of them. And who do you think, who's your
Suslo,
favorite?
who is the grandmother,
Ah,
and
okay.
I named her after the library at the University of Washington. The that's the name of the library up there. So she is like the old queen. Everybody bowed to her. She had the ability to kill you by thinking about you because she had telepathy that damaged the brain, and she just was ruthless, and she just went through life and took what she wanted. And as she gets to know Deidre and Deidre gets to know her, there becomes a softness to her and a more kind understanding of maybe how she should have been and a regret. And so I really like her, and I don't know where she comes from in my past, but she tears me up and makes me feel certain things. I hope the book does too.
The book is The One, a Deidre Lee Saga. It's only human to wonder what if. The book available wherever books are sold. Obviously, Amazon comes to mind, Barnes and Noble, any of those places. What are you working on now? I know you've got projects in the
Oh,
works.
I started the second book shortly after I finished this one, got about 200 pages into it, and then I thought, oh, I'll do a free one, right? That I could throw up on my
Oh,
website.
yes.
So I started writing this free one. I brought in another character. He's from Ireland. He's young, he's sexy, doesn't know he's an immortal, shows up at the cafe where Deidre and the other six immortals work and run in the university district. And the guys all get a little jealous. So what's pulled into this is a little magic from a witch called Glinda. I thought that was my little funny ha-ha on The Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
And she is a friend of the professor, who is actually the mother of Blame. And she's kind of helped the island stay invisible all these years with kind of a thorn of magic all the way around the island. So people feel really weird. They don't want to go any further in, to check stuff out. But Deidre finds that the guys are so unruly and it's a blood moon, which we just had. And so she decides she's going to do a little spell on them. And she gets carried away and they become docile and too complacent. And so she has to call in this witch friend to help her out. And then it just goes on from there. And the one gal, they've been in love, her and Jerry, for years. She ends up pregnant. He ends up so jealous, he runs away to Lake Chelan, to where he has a father figure that lives there on the island, or on in the out there on Lake Chelan. And then some history of Lake Chelan is thrown in there. So I've had so much fun with it, using the Irish brogue from this kid. You can't understand him, and the bet that they put on. So the new kids that come to school up there, they all bet that they can get Amanda to go out with them, and it's gone on for 10 years,
How
and
long
they
have
get this kid to try to flirt with her, and I've just had so much fun with it. So now it's going to be book number two, and it runs into three, which is done in Portland.
That I love the storyline. When will book number two be out, do you think?
Well, let's see. I've got probably got another 200 pages to write. And when it starts raining here, I write in the wintertime when it's dark and gloomy and there's nothing to do. Otherwise, I'm outside in the sunshine. I just adopted a puppy from Three Little Pitty Pets out of
Ah, great.
Texas to save him, rescue her. And so right. now I'm working on her outside going potty and stuff. So it's still sunny here, cold, but sunny. So as soon as it gets rainy again, I'll start writing. Hopefully I'll finish that in the next couple months.
So when you see that Donna's got a new book out, you'll know that, okay, she's having inclement weather up there. It's like...
That's right. Rainy. It's been raining for months.
Rainy and cloudy in Donna's hometown. The book is... this one is the one, a Deidre Lee saga, and soon another saga will be out. This one, it's only human to wonder what if. Donna Hammond, her website, you can follow her there, is donnahammond.com. How about on Facebook, other social media? What's the best way to follow you?
I am at Donna Hammond. Actually, my maiden name's there, Kudlicek, so everyone knows who I am. So it's Donna Kudlicek Hammond. But if you type Donna Hammond in to Google, I just come up. I mean, it's pretty easy to find me. And as being a real estate agent for 20 years, I've also got that feed that's already in the internet. So I'm pretty easy to find.
And you can link on, of course, by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Time is going by so quickly. I want to ask about what this has done for you, finally telling the story that's been suppressed since 2008, getting it published, what you had to overcome with the dyslexia. You had the thoughts, you knew what you wanted to do, you just couldn't put them on paper. Now you're able to do that. People are reading, enjoying your story. What's this been like personally for you as you check this off on your bucket list?
This has made me proud.
Yes.
I lost my dad a couple of years ago. He would have been proud of me. My mom read the book. She says, I skipped over the naughty parts, but it's not bad. That's a compliment from my mom.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm very proud of myself. I really feel accomplished. I enjoy doing this. And so I'm just going to keep doing it as long as people enjoy reading it, and maybe beyond that, just because I enjoy doing it.
Are there authors that you read, enjoy, and maybe influence, encourage you, not necessarily to follow in their footsteps, but because they are authors that tell great stories? And again, you were like, what, 50 years old before you read a book, and you've made up for that in the last few years.
I've read thousands of books since then. I'm going to say Alexander Ivey, Jeanine Frost, J.R. Ward. She writes, her books have so many characters going on. You really got to pay attention to go through them. I've always admired her writing. Jeanine Frost, she's one of those that write where you can taste the popcorn. And Alexander Ivey, she just puts it out there so eloquently. And I mean, if I could get, have friends like that, that would say, hey, you're getting there, you're doing the right thing, that would be great. I mean, I enjoy reading all of their books.
Well, you're on your way to being able to do that. It's just a remarkable story, the background and how this story came about, the one, a Deidre Lee saga. I read one of your favorite quotes is, all good things come to those who wait. Talk about that, because that really sort of sums up your life, isn't it? What you've gone through, and here it is. A lot of people would have said, ain't ever going to happen, and you made it happen.
Well, and I've heard that. When I was probably 15 or 16, and you got the big crush on a guy and they're not paying a bit of attention to you, nor do they like you. I read that quote somewhere that all good things come to those who wait. And it's just kind of been my mantra. And I'm one of those kind of people that will write a wish list and put it on my refrigerator. And as I go down, I check it off. I've been able to do that my whole life, so I'm really fortunate and grateful. And I think that having gratitude and setting goals, and then all good things come to those who wait. That's just the way life should be.
And there's an important message, and we touched on that in talking about dyslexia and the period of time, the 70s, and what you were going through and the lack of understanding and in empathy and people that would try to reach out and to help. They just didn't understand it.
That's right.
There's a strong message there, isn't there? It may take a few decades to get through this, but perseverance, and you can do that. It's a
That's
powerful
right.
message you have for people.
I really believe, I mean, this gal that told me, she was the superintendent of schools. I was sitting across from her at a dinner party. and this was probably maybe 10 years ago, and she said, describe your dyslexia to me. And I went, okay. So I told her about the letters and the words, and out of her mouth came, wow, you are severely damaged. And I thought to myself at that time, had someone told me that in my junior high, grade school years, honey, you're severely damaged. You're not going to, you know, where would I have been? You know, no one ever told me I was damaged or I couldn't accomplish anything. My mom was really great at, you know, letting me go out there and just be me. So I'm really glad no one, I wish they would have discovered it and known how to help me. Maybe I would have been on the bestsellers list because these books would have come out sooner.
Yes.
But because they didn't, it built a different kind of character of who I am. And I really didn't, when she said you're severely damaged, I was really glad I hadn't heard that early on in life.
Can you imagine as a teenage girl going through doubts as teenage boys do as well during that period and trying to figure out who you are, to have someone
say, honey, you're severely damaged.
Yeah, that was good. That came later in life when you could handle that. Donna, it's been such a pleasure to have you on the program. Congratulations on the success throughout your life in turning that around, in writing the book, having a successful book, receiving rave reviews. The book is The One, a Deidre Lee Saga. It's Only Human to Wonder, What If? Donna Hammond, H-A-M-M-O-N-D, is the author. Google that. Information on Donna will come up, books as well. And go to our website, donnahammond.com, and all of that on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Donna, a pleasure meeting you, having you on the program. You get the next one out.
It's been a pleasure.
After the rainy season, when you finish the next book, let me know, and we'll do this again. Thank you for being with us.
Absolutely. It'll be a blast. I can't wait to be back with you.
Thank you for joining us. It's been a pleasure.
Have a great day now. Thanks.
You as well. Donna Hammond, the author of The One, a Deidre Lee Saga. It's Only Human to Wonder, What If? Our website is donnahammond.com. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.